This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, January 11th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear about Abraham Lincoln's flair as a writer and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Tony Fabry of Champaign was sworn in last night as the new Champaign County Auditor, succeeding Mike Frericks, who is now a state senator. But the vote was not unanimous, with several Republicans who said the Champaign Democrat isn't qualified for the job. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Five Republicans on the county board voted against Fabry's appointment, as did his Democratic rivals Barb Wasacki and Steve Beckett. Muhammad Republican John Jay said Fabry lacked the financial training needed to be auditor and didn't have much respect for the office.
I also find it ironic that this candidate wanted to do away with this office just a few years back, but now he wants to be ahead of the department that he wanted to do away with.
Fabry says Jay's accusation, called from a News Gazette editorial, is mistaken. He says he was on a committee that put options before the county board a few years ago, but that he actually voted against the one to eliminate the auditor's office. Fabry, who plans to run for a full term as auditor next year, says the Republicans' complaints are politically motivated.
I think it is clear that in some Republicans' minds, the 2008 campaign began tonight.
Fabry says while the auditor's staff provides the accounting skills, the auditor needs political experience to make sure county money is spent correctly. Experience, he says, he's gained serving on the County Board Finance Committee. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Fabry's appointment leaves a vacant seat on the county board. Chairman Pius Weibel says he hopes to present a nominee to fill the seat by next month. Meanwhile, Mike Frericks made the transition yesterday from Champaign County Auditor to State Senator. The Democrat from Gifford was sworn in as the new senator from the 52nd District, covering most of Champaign and Vermilion counties. Frericks says he's excited to start his new job.
This swearing in is a fun time, but excited to get to work, the real work of the people of Illinois.
Frericks says he'll focus on issues such as school funding, higher education, and stem cell research. The top Democrats in the Illinois General Assembly offer different views on the state's finances as they begin a new legislative session. Sean Crawford has more.
As the Illinois House members were sworn in for another term, Speaker Mike Madigan laid the groundwork for budget changes. He says the members will have to make unpopular decisions, whether it's spending cuts, raising taxes, or a mix of the two. Madigan said the state must act now as it's unable to cover its financial obligations.
I'm prepared to engage in doing things which today may not be viewed so favorably, but down the road there'll be an acknowledgement that it was the right thing to do.
While Madigan sounded a dire warning, Democratic Senate President Emil Jones responded the state has a revenue problem, not a spending problem. Jones says he sees no place to cut the budget.
What are you going to cut? You going to cut health care for the poor and the elderly? Are you going to cut funding for education? That's the bulk of your budget. I'm not about ready to do that.
Jones has indicated everything is on the table when it comes to raising revenue, including higher income taxes. But that would place Governor Rod Blagojevich in a difficult spot. He's pledged to hold the line on taxes. I'm Sean Crawford.
Democrats who control the Indiana House say that Governor Mitch Daniels' proposed state budget is just a starting point. Daniels unveiled his two-year spending plan yesterday. The $26 billion proposal includes a 3% spending increase for school operating costs, money to begin a phase-in of full-day kindergarten, and additional cash for universities and prisons. It would also cap the amount of money the state provides in property tax relief credits. Democratic State Representative William Cochran says the budget will be written in the House Ways and Means Committee. Republican Representative Jeff Espich, however, likes the governor's budget plan. He calls it beyond a starting point. Some central Illinois businesses will have the chance to negotiate for lower electricity bills. Champaign County's Chamber of Commerce is teaming up with Chambers in Decatur and Peoria to form an energy cooperative. Members of all three will collectively negotiate the price from a licensed supplier. Champaign County Chamber Executive Director Laura Weiss says the greater bundle of power purchased usually means lower power bills. She says the concept is based on similar co-ops operating in Maryland, where deregulation has been in effect since 2000.
one chamber that I talked with said the first co-op they did, the market rate was 11 cents per kilowatt hour. And what they were able to get was 6.5 cents per kilowatt hour for the members of their co-op. And so once they had some solid numbers to work with, well, then they had other members of their chamber going, oh, wait a minute, I'm kind of interested in this.
Weiss says all types of businesses, ranging from large manufacturing plants to small retail operations, can benefit. Champaign County's Chamber of Commerce is holding a series of informational meetings over the next 2 weeks for members interested in joining the co-op. Wednesday was the last of a two-day meeting of President Bush's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology. Among the 36-member council is University of Illinois Chancellor Richard Herman, who says the future of computer science education was a key topic of discussion. Herman says the U of I is working with other schools to evaluate the way it teaches students.
There are a number of new models, one of which is being proposed by us at Illinois, and another fine work at Georgia Tech and Berkeley. So we have conducted hearings. There's the issue of the private sector. There's the issue of government policies and how they promote American competitiveness.
The president's council is also discussing a future trend toward what's called personalized medicine. Herman says advances in genomic studies will let doctors design drugs and other treatments toward individual patients. Herman was appointed to the council last year, along with Purdue University President Martin Jischke. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Abraham Lincoln and his skill as a writer are the focus of a new book. Lincoln's Sword, The Presidency and the Power of Words was published in December by Douglas Wilson, co-director of the Lincoln Studies Center at Knox College in Galesburg. Herb Trix reports.
Wilson says it all started when he was working for the Library of Congress, transcribing documents in its Lincoln collection so they could be made available on the Internet.
What I was struck by was what it told us about his craftsmanship, his interest in crafting words and revising what he had written and so forth, and changing his word choices and changing the way his sentences went, that kind of thing. And since my field was originally literature, I was especially interested in Lincoln as a writer, always have been. And that's where I started, with interest in the manuscripts and what they have to tell us. And then I started doing research on Lincoln's writing and what I could find out about Lincoln as a writer.
And Wilson emphasizes that despite what we think of Lincoln now, he was not well regarded for his writing during his life.
One of the things that people said about him was, well, it's too bad that we had to get this guy because he might be a nice enough guy and he's friendly and he can tell a good story, but what we really need is a statesman. And this is a grave national crisis, and this guy is just out of his depth. And one editor, which I quote a couple of times, actually said, who will write this ignorant man's state papers? So I got interested in that story, the story of how the public finally discovered that Lincoln was a good writer and not just a rube. His way of working was to write out notes ahead of time. And when he had enough notes or he had the substance of it, he would get out his notes and arrange them. Herndon says that when he wrote the House Divided speech, this was before the presidency, that he carried these scraps around in his hat. And when the time came to write the speech, he emptied his hat out onto the table, and he started arranging these scraps of paper, these little notes that he'd made on the fly. And then he numbered them, and then he started to write his speech from the notes.
For example, during the summer of 1862, when the Civil War was going very badly for the Union side, Lincoln wanted to defend his conduct, but wasn't sure how.
So he was working on a text, and he had a draft, and he said to a friend, how could I get this out? What would be the best way to get this out? And about that time, he was attacked in the newspaper by Horace Greeley, the long, wordy harangue, scolding him and telling him what he should be doing and what he wasn't doing. And 2 days later appeared the thing he'd been working on with a little introductory paragraph, and it was, we now know it as the letter to Greeley, the very famous letter. And it had such a good effect that when he got in trouble again over public opinion, this was about the curtailment of civil liberties, in 63, he again did a public letter, and that worked very, very well.
Another good example is the Gettysburg Address. Wilson says at the time of the Union victory in the summer of 1863, Lincoln was looking for an occasion to suggest that human equality was what the war was all about. And he decided the dedication of the cemetery at Gettysburg in November 1863 would be the ideal time. And Wilson says Lincoln is perhaps one of the few historical figures who could survive the close scrutiny of himself and so many other scholars and still be considered such a brilliant writer and hero.
The only parallel I can think of is that when I first started to study Shakespeare seriously, I remember thinking, this guy cannot be as good as he's cracked up to be. But as most people who study Shakespeare discover, the more you study him, the deeper you get into him, the more amazing he is, the more, the better he is. Lincoln is kind of like that. He's a guy that we think we know because he's so familiar, but when you study him, you discover that he's a very different person, and he's a more interesting person, he's a more engaging person, and he's a much deeper person than you expect.
Wilson's new book, Lincoln's Sword, The Presidency and the Power of Words, is published by Alfred A. Knopf. I'm Herb Trix.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy skies today, windy and mild, the high 48. Winds are southerly at 20 to 25 miles per hour, gusting to around 35. Mostly cloudy with light rain possible during the evening, then likely after midnight, the low 42. Cloudy tomorrow, occasional showers possible, the high near 50. We'll get much colder temperatures in the first part of next week. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, January 11th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bosser, AM 580 News.